Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
No, no, who do you hear?
It's the Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
I'm starting to feel it, Fred.
I'm starting to feel the excitement?
I'm starting to feel it, and I was nervous. Because the other day, Fred and I went to the other room, and we were listening to recaps from the 2011 season when the Bruins... that playoff run...
Yeah.
There was a show where we had seven.
There was seven in one day, seven recaps, and it sounded like a riot. I mean, people were screaming. There was... It sounded like the city was on fire in the background.
We were making these television commercials, and it was too loud. Like, with the ones that we submitted were too loud.
Because people were just losing
their minds. There was too loud for television.
And Fred and I looked at each other, and we were like, I don't know if it's ever going to be like this again, or at least for a long time for any of the teams.
For any of the teams.
We talked about with the Patriots, you know, going to the Super Bowl, there wasn't obviously the buzz that, you know, you saw what was going on. Because, I mean, just it's old hat. You've been doing it so many times. You don't blame Patriots fans. You just get used to it. With the Red Sox, even in 2013, there wasn't the excitement that... But 2011 was the last of the people lost their minds as far as a sporting event was concerned.
Every playoff game was like chaos afterwards.
And now I'm starting to feel like the match is could possibly be lit sometime soon. Like when you hear the people and you see them in the stands, they're getting a little taste of it, and I like that.
Yeah, Bruins fans are by far the most rowdy.
Oh, without a doubt. So Nick yesterday was outside of the TD Garden. And he was talking to the people. What a great win. I mean, Patrice Bergeron, there's all this talk about him being up for the Hart. I know that yesterday you had good old Don Cherry in his awesome suit say that he believes that he should be the guy that wins it this year. It's still early, and the guy's putting up unbelievable numbers, and there's a lot of hockey to go. So here's Nick outside of the Garden after Patrice's big game.
Can we use this for the radio?
Oh, yeah, of course. Baby.
What are your thoughts about tonight's game?
Bergeron is awesome.
What's up? Let's go!
Bergeron!
Bruins came out there and tore it up. Offensive, power play, they're killing it, dude. Penalty kill, they're out there tearing it up. Getting shots on net. Chara's out there laying hits, playing the defense.
I just have to say Bergeron, man.
You know, Felger was saying Bergeron is not MVP.
Okay, Bergeron. Okay, that guy has no idea what he's talking about. Bergeron's out here. What,
27?
Two goals tonight, one assist? Come on, man. The guy's the size of my arm.
Please.
Hey! Why did I think Paul Stanley
became a hockey fan? My lemon tea. I like the way. Look at my balls. I like you. Right. Hey, Patrice Bergeron, let's see what's doing. I want the locker room.
Okay.
Let me in the locker room.
Paul Stanley, I don't think you're allowed in the Bruce locker room.
I want a shower.
No, I don't think you're allowed to do that. It's kind of close.
Make it clean.
Okay, all right, Paul Stanley.
You don't know, someone called in earlier and said they were backstage at a Bruce Kulick, Paul Stanley show, which is funny in itself. Paul Stanley had a robe on. And
it was a Basic Instinct situation.
Yes, he showed his balls to everyone.
That's right.
Let's go. Bruins for life. Bruins going to take the Stanley Cup 2018. Let's go. Bruins, baby. Woo.
All right. Nice. All right. They're starting to get amped up a little bit. This is good. Mid-season, they're starting to feel it.
Yep.
I like it. So, Nick, once again, talk to another group of people.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All day.
I've been doing it for a while.
How drunk are you?
I've been drinking since 4 o'clock.
Wow. What are your thoughts on tonight's game?
Bruins killed it. Always. The Bruins are on a roll right now, and they will not stop until they win the Stanley Cup this year.
You think they're going all the way this year?
Right now, they're scoring me than I did my freshman year at college. Yeah.
Do you guys know Bert?
let that good joke settle in. You get it?
He didn't even tag it. He just let it. He let it sit. Didn't have to tag the joke.
Oh, there's some eyebrows being like, yeah, you get that one.
He scored more than I did in my freshman year at college.
Hey,
The other guy was comfortable just letting it sit there. He didn't
let him hang.
Yeah, he didn't have feel the need to step in and tag it. He was just like, let that breathe. You know, let pause for applause, pause for laughter.
Even doing a yeah,
you gotta throw
can
a life.
Can I get a little?
You gotta throw a life preserver out at that point. You gotta save your friend from the deafening silence.
This year,
right now, the score on me than I did my freshman year of college. Yeah.
Do you guys know Bird?
Bird?
Bird? The intern?
Bird's not an intern. We don't know what he really is. He's on payroll.
I know Bird. Bird's
not
an intern.
You're not Felger and Mass.
Speaking of Felger and Mass, Felger doesn't. He doesn't believe Bergeron's having an MVP year.
First of all, anything Felger says is. Because Felger's a moron.
That's not nice. Use a better word.
No, Felger is a moron.
Okay.
Was Nick drinking?
Sounds like it. I don't know. Maybe we let the rest of the recap do the talking here.
Oh, boy. All right.
Okay.
And he's shaking his head.
He's shaking his head. Not liking that decision at all.
Maybe let the rest of the recap.
So Nick is saying that he wasn't drinking as if that's, like, better than the alternative. Like we would come down on him for drinking during the recaps.
Maybe it might ease the tension. Nick, relax you a little bit.
Yeah. You can go out and drink as much as you want.
He's like, oh,
like, what do we care? Go out and drink as much as you want.
I don't care.
Get hammered every time. I don't care.
Sure. Bad choice. Felger is a moron.
Okay.
Bergeron is an MVP, and he's been an MVP almost every year that he's played in the league, first of all.
And Maz agrees with that because Maz Felger every day of the week.
Felger,
that's Volga.
Who's the guy that comes down every Tuesday?
Gave a little Chip Chipperson there.
Is that Chip Chipperson? Oh, I didn't know.
Right. Volga.
Felger,
that's Volga.
Who's the guy that comes down every Tuesday? 2-6. What's the guy's name?
Oh, Bedard.
Oh, I need my breakdown of this interview. 2:00 on Monday.
You know, there was a whole thing Marquise Flowers was...
Well, he's a special teams... The guy sucks.
Well, he was saying that Bill Belichick has gone to the Super Bowl more 11 times than 11 times. Oh, man. Marquise Flowers was pretty much saying, Bedard was, hold on. Flowers was saying pretty much Bedard would never got laid.
He's been to the Super Bowl more times than Bedard got laid.
Exactly.
Wow. He said to me yesterday, what should I ask him? And I said, ask him about how many times you've been laid. Is it over under 11?
Go back 35 seconds.
I got to go back a long way.
I mean, this is one question he's trying to get out.
All right. It's so long, I can't do it visually.
2:00 on Monday.
You know, there was a whole thing Marquise Flowers was...
Well, he's a special teams... The guy sucks.
Well, he was saying that Bill Belichick has gone to the Super Bowl more 11 times than... 11 times. Oh, man. Marquise Flowers was pretty much saying, Bedard was... hold on. Flowers was saying pretty much Bedard would never...
I like the guy that asked if he's okay.
You all right?
You all right? You're seizuring.
By the way, we're already at 23 seconds. Yeah. We're 23 seconds, and that's from when he started over, because the guy interrupted and said something. But we let him start over. So we're 23 seconds from getting the question out.
Marquise Flowers was...
Well, he's a special teams... The guy sucks.
Well, he was
start
saying
now.
That Bill Belichick has gone to the Super Bowl more 11 times than... 11 times. Oh, man. Marquise Flowers was pretty much saying, Bedard was... hold on. Flowers was saying pretty much... Bedard would never got laid.
He's been to the Super Bowl more times than Bedard got laid.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Nick, you were sober? What happened? Did you have a seizure?
No. I was so cold.
Oh, God.
I didn't drink at all last night.
Maybe you should start.
Somebody said Nick was 100% drunk. Yeah, either way, don't feel free, because maybe you're just a little tense out there. Maybe you need to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, drink all you want.
Drink all you want. Well, I mean, unless you're driving, of course.
Well, that needs to be said. Yeah, don't break the law.
That was 26 seconds.
I just liked that it was cold. Like, all of a sudden, like, it was really cold. I couldn't talk or formulate anything. You know, it's funny, like, people in Minnesota, they only can communicate in grunts.
They actually use those flags.
They're able to communicate from, like, November to April. Yeah.
People in Norway are just, they're mute so, during the winter.
So it just said, this is Nick's version of the voicemail scene from Swingers.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick has a lady friend, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes, he doesn't want to...
Found via Tinder? Was it a Tinder? Thumbs up or down?
I believe it was a Tinder, but he does not want to...
He says no.
Okay, so he does not want to talk about his sexual history as not to scare this woman away.
So what needs to happen is have Nick drink and then bring Bird along to be his translator.
No, because if you told him that he was going to suck at doing it, he'd do it well. It's the way of it, that chair.
Yeah. What do you think?
Probably true. It's absolutely true. But I'd never get slain. He's a freaking WrestleMania freak.
Were you interviewing Bertrand? Was Bertrand down there? Because that sure as hell sounds like him.
It's absolutely true. But I'd never get slain. He's a freaking WrestleMania freak.
No, that's Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, that's Jimmy Stewart. Never mind. My bad.
But not actually. My bad. Don't diss the mania.
Don't diss the mania.
No, you can't diss WrestleMania.
Hey.
Jay Stu. What are you doing here?
I chose to live a life of celibacy.
Why?
To build my strength for all the Kowloon and wrestling I could handle.
Okay, I don't know why you need to be celibate to do that.
Well, it gives... If you have all the pheromones, the cats are more likely to sit.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
I really wasn't sure what to do with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Really?
Okay, thank you.
Don't challenge me. Okay. Don't challenge me.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Okay. All right.
But he did have Thanksgiving dinner with all the wrestling seats. All right. We'll be back with our good friend Mike Gorman. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Wilson Farm.
Well, he was saying that Bill Belichick has gone to the Super Bowl more 11 times than 11 times. Oh, man. Marquise Flowers was pretty much saying, Bedard was that. Hold on.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I had a little bit to drink last night, and I bought $600 worth of football cards.
Did you really?
I did.
$600?
You just found this out?
No, I
remember. Oh, you knew this before?
I remember doing it.
How many football cards is $600 worth?
All right, so my thinking process was this. Is that if you get them from Amazon, my experience has been that they've been opened and all the good cards have been taken out. So I was not going through Amazon.
Okay.
And my son is into all these card games now. My family plays these card games. So, and my dog, the puppy, ate a pack of cards. So I started by ordering a few packs of playing cards. And then it occurred to me, I'm like, oh, well, my son and his friend spent like a couple days, you know, playing with these football cards. So I went, how to buy them? What do you do? And the site I ran into had this gross of... unopened packs of football cards with a bonus set for a mere $600.
Whoa. So are these aren't like...
They're going to pay me back. These are going to be worth four times as much as I paid for.
How old are the cards?
Yeah.
That is the question that I can answer by looking at my phone.
Because it's weird. I've stumbled across a shoebox in like the back reaches of my closet, and I found like Lydell Mitchell of the Baltimore Colts. I mean, I found a bunch of old cards too, on all the sports.
If you want baseball cards from like the year 1991, I've got pretty much every Topps.
I'm going back like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar cards from 1974.
Okay, this is a 2018, but it's a 12-box case. So it's 12 boxes of unopened packs.
From just this year? Did you say this year?
Yes, but it's 12 boxes of unopened packs.
$600 still sounds steep.
Well, yes, it was stupid. I did something dumb. I mean, I'm not sitting here reveling in my purchase.
But if you get 12 boxes of the same, like the same set, aren't you going to get like a
duplicate.
Zillion
You're
of the same
get doubles
cards?
And triples? Sure, you are.
I don't know about that.
I always thought that if you bought a box, you got everything. I always thought if you bought a box,
no, these are boxes. Like if you went to the store and they opened the box
and they had like 50 packs.
You would buy individual packs.
So if you get sheets, you know they're not going to be.
I probably bought 1,500 cards.
Oh my goodness.
But I'll make my money back tenfold. Do you understand?
Sure.
There's right. no better investment than cards.
Oh my goodness. That's I mean, I just to buy 12 of the same box, that's pretty insane.
Well, listen, if you're going to do it, if you're going to invest, I missed out on Bitcoin. You got to go
that's
deep.
Right. My first phone call would be to Fierce. Say, yeah, you can have Bitcoin. Check this out.
Yeah. So there you go. Like two nights hotel stay anywhere in the world, and I spend it on cards.
Who's still in business doing that? Is it Upper Deck? Is that the company? Are they still around?
Tell me, Tops is still in business. I'd die if they don't. If they're not,
they're Fleer? Tops.
They're Tops. Okay,
excellent. See, well, good. Now the world can keep spinning. I'm happy.
Oh boy, that was dumb.
$600 bucks.
Wow.
And plus shipping, but you got the free holiday pack. They threw that in.
Okay. Well, that was nice of them.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I did last
year. 50 evening. Bucks a box.
That Tom Brady card's going to be sitting right on top.
What do you want me to do? It's, what's done is done. Mike Gorman.
He wants...
he's got the Mickey Mantle.
Spent 1,500 bucks on Garbage Pail Kids.
But I mean,
back when they were big in the 80s.
Now you'd be sitting pretty with those.
Yes.
Mike Gorman, of course, you know him from NBC Sports Boston. He calls the Celtics games. He's a local icon,
mm-hmm.
a national treasure. Mike Gorman.
You got a nickel on football cards?
A nickel? Is that $500?
Yes.
More than that.
$600. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll bring the beer. We'll have a card opening party.
They videotape it, apparently. So, people like to watch that stuff online.
So I called home, and I thought, at least I'll get a pop out of my son. Like, he'll get, excited about this. And I said, hey, I bought $600 of football cards. And he goes, why?
Yep, he's nine.
Yeah, he just said, why? Yeah. And I'm like,
thanks for the love.
What do we hope to turn this 600 into?
100
acceptance,
50
buying the love of my children. Yeah. That's all I want. I figure it's a great investment. Everyone wants to get their hands on football cards now. I mean, kids are wild about things that aren't electronic, and let's get back to pen and paper. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I have my own basketball collection of cards. Yeah,
but you got to get those for free.
The ones I have, I got for free, yeah.
Now, do you get autographs ever? Like, is there ever, like...
No. No.
Not even from someone who's retired that might be at the game?
No. I have two autographs in my collection, actually. I have Hank Aaron, and I have John Havlicek, and that's it.
Right, now, so, if you knew somebody who, if you had, a relative that had a kid or something that wanted an autograph, do you just immediately tell them no?
Yes.
Okay.
I do, because you can't do the job I do and go around asking for autographs, because it just changes who you are.
Sure. Then the players look at you in a different way, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You show up with, and there were guys, in the past, I'll leave them nameless, but there were guys who would show up in the locker room with the basketball and you try to get guys to sign it and stuff like that. It just kills the relationship you have with them if you suddenly start asking them for autographs.
So I understand.
I just never have. I've never been a collector anyway. So,
well, I got 600. You want to go halvesies on these cards?
No, that's okay.
All right,
okay, I'll come over. I'll come over the house though with the six pack, and we can open a few boxes and see what happens.
Well, you come over with three cases, because that's about the time it's going to take to go and sort through this garbage.
I still think that there's no way that was worth that amount of money. I mean,
no, of course not. But it was stupid.
Not,
I did something very dumb.
Not just buying them, but the amount that you paid per box, $50
yes,
a box.
Of course.
Okay. All
Wait,
right.
Rich, what do you think? You think that I'm like sitting here happy?
This
yes. I was alone. I know okay. my thought process. It just, it's regrettable that I did that. I mean, any slings and arrows, I'll take them. I didn't think it, I don't, like, I'm not sitting here going, wow, that was really smart of me to do that. I mean, it was dumb. By the way,
set up a little kiosk in Faneuil Hall or something.
I'm trying to think of that. By the way, like, I'm someone who will spend 5 hours fighting a parking ticket that's $15.
Yeah.
But then I'll throw away $600 on garbage. So that's what I did.
Well, I hope you get 20 Tom Brady's in there.
There's nothing more valuable than a 2018 Tom Brady card.
What's the big card? There's always, in a collection, there's always like some cards.
I'm going to guess nothing. I'm going to guess unless there's $1,000 in that pack, I'm coming out on the wrong end. Where am I going to sell them? Like, what am I going to go to a craft show? Like, what am I going to do with those things? I'm screwed.
Don't they have these autograph shows on weekends and stuff where guys come out? And
yeah, but what am I going to get? Some jabroni? I'm going to have to get some a-hole to sign these cards? I don't need that in my life. Best to eat it. Chalk it up to experience. You know what I'm saying?
That's a $600 gulp, yeah. Okay.
But you've never done that? You've never spent $600 on something dumb?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like counterfeit art?
Take a look at my shoe collection.
Oh, you have a shoe collection?
No, I don't have a shoe collection. I have a hard time passing by shoe stores without buying a pair of shoes, so.
Like Stacey Adams or like or sneakers?
Like Imelda Marcos, you know.
Yes, I get the reference, yes.
Yeah, mostly dress shoes, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
So you have like a big closet?
I have a lot of shoes sitting on top of each other, yeah.
Okay, so it's like, is it compartmentalized? Like, do you have like a different
little shoe space? Cubbies. You have a little thing on a hanger with shoe cubbies. Yes.
No. They're just kind of loose.
All right.
Seeking their mate.
All right. Can you hang on so we can break? Because I've wasted all this time. Seriously.
Sure. Not a problem.
All right. Thank you. Do you want me to hang up or do you want me to put you on hold?
No. More good card talk coming up. Yeah.
All right. Do you want me to put you on hold or do you want me to hang up?
No. Hold. Fine.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No worries. All right. We'll get better after this part.
All right, stop that. We don't know each other like that. You can't insult me. All right, here we go. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to go to the headlines, and I'm going to take the bullet. I'm going to take the $600 bullet.
Paul Stanley, what do you think about collecting cards? Come on.
My throat can't take it any longer. All right, here are the headlines.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Tucker and Rich.
Teammates who are here: Twan, Walter, Leon, Dana Barros, White Mamba Scow, Kevin Rondo. Man, you guys don't even know how good that feels that you guys support me like this, man. It feels so good. And then the Celtic legends of the past. Max.
Legend.
The Chief. Tom Satch.
Numbers retired.
You know, you guys, thank you because you guys set the tone.
Zach Sanders, number retired. Cedric Maxwell, number retired. You know what that means? They're both legends, Fred. That's exactly what that means.
Cedric Maxwell, truly, growing up, was a force in my youth. By the way, we have tickets to tomorrow's sold-out Pucks and Paddles event.
It's actually a force before you were born, right?
No, I was born in 75.
Oh, 75, sorry.
Featuring your Boston Bruins. That's right, I look a lot younger, thank you. Mike Gorman, of course, from NBC Sports Boston. I wasted his time earlier. A lot of hype surrounding the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. People are going nuts, being very excited about what they're doing, the new chemistry of this team after one game.
Well, due to the ass-kicking that they gave the Celtics in game one.
Won again last night. Yeah.
What is your feeling of that team, and do you think that some of that hype is warranted?
Well, I think some of the hype is warranted because I think they got appreciably better. According to Scal, who keeps track of this kind of stuff, I really don't. I guess they've buried themselves going forward in terms of the salary cap. But right now, they're a much better team than they were a week ago. Hood is a drop-dead shooter. Clarkson always has played well against us every time. We only play the Lakers twice a year, but he always seems to have big games. George Hill is a professional. Nance Jr. is a player who just wants to rebound and block shots, doesn't want to take shots, so he'll fit in very well. So they really did a nice job of turning their season around. Now it's a question of whether or not these guys can make shots. If they do, they're going to be very difficult.
What do you make of the slump that the Celtics have been in since they came back from London?
You know, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. They seem to, a couple of things have happened. One, these are the dog days of the NBA season, so it's you shouldn't really pay a whole lot of attention to how a team's playing now. It's how a team's playing in about 2 or 3 weeks. That said, that was the way they were handled by Toronto and the way they were handled by Cleveland. It was a little disturbing. Some of the ball movement seems to be missing. There seems to be a little bit more isolation than there was earlier in the year. I think they need to get back to sharing the ball. I think we'll probably see that tonight now that they've had a day of practice. They're not playing well right now. That's pure and simple. They're just not playing well. They're not making shots. And if they don't make shots, they get little problems.
Are you concerned about Tatum and the so-called rookie wall?
I was about 3 weeks ago, but I'm not as concerned right now. I think Tatum is still finding his way. I think we all were guilty of getting a little carried away early with how good he was going to be or how quickly he was going to be good. I still think he's going to be very good. I just don't think it's going to happen as fast as some people thought it would. So in answer to your question, no, I'm not worried about him. But, you know, he's in new territory for him. He's never played this many high-quality games in a season, and he's still got about 30 to go.
Mike, Brad Stevens said in an interview a couple of days ago, the Celtics really miss both Marcus Smart and Shane Larkin. That makes him very thin on the bench, and it's really showing because he's had to play a lot of people extended minutes. How much is that a contributing factor to what's been going on here?
Well, it is. I mean, Marcus especially, you know, because, I mean, Marcus just brings so many different things to the table. Defensively, hustle-wise, big defensive play, steals, deflections at key times in games. And Shane was a very calming influence on the team and is an offensive-minded point guard. So, it's put a lot of pressure on Rozier, who I think has responded very well to it. But their bench is a lot shorter than they would like it to be right now. The big thing for the Celtics, I think, is going to be Gordon Hayward, whether or not he comes back and plays. He could change things drastically headed into the playoffs if he comes back.
All right. How was Saturday night? Because that looked like a lot of fun. The big dinner that they had for Paul Pierce. You were getting some FaceTime. Was it a lot of fun?
Yeah, it really was. We did a good thing, too. We put I was kind of emceeing the thing and asking a lot of the questions of the people, but we put a microphone on Paul's table, and he was able to jump in whenever he felt like it. So it became more Paul and I both interviewing and giving people a hard time. It was a lot of fun. It went for about 2.5 hours, and nobody complained about the length.
What was the best Paul Pierce story of the night? Because I know that everyone was sharing their Paul Pierce experiences, including yourself.
Well, yeah. I think the story that people liked the most was which Tommy related while he was on the panel of the on Saturday night, was Paul with the leadership books. I mean, the desire on the kid's part at the time to do what the right thing was. And as I said, I'm not used to seeing guys walk up the aisle of the plane with 2 Barnes & Noble bags in their hands. And so that got my attention when Paul did on the plane. But to see him sitting in that compartment at about 2 o'clock in the morning as we're making our way back from, I think, Sacramento, with like 8 books on leadership just spread out in front of him on a table, just kind of staring at him. I just love that image. I love the fact that he thought that's what he needed to do and what he tried to do to become a leader. And it was interesting. Kevin Garnett came out and said that, he might have got a lot of the publicity, but the leader of the team, unquestionably, during the run for the championship was Pierce. I don't think people understood how good Paul Pierce was outside of Boston. I don't think he ever got the credit that he deserved. NBC Sports Boston was running a loop of Pierce dunks there for a while when he was scrubbed on their website. And I forgot how monstrous his dunks were. I mean, he was just obliterating people going to the basket.
Well, he has one of my favorite dunks of all time when he went in on Bosch, and as he was slamming it, put a knee right to his crotch.
Yeah.
And Bosch is writhing on the ground, and Paul Pierce, I think he might have gotten a technical for it, but he kind of stood over him and did that little flex thing, which was one of the all-time most devastating dunks.
That's what he got
dunks.
The technical for, the taunting afterwards.
It was one of the most devastating dunks I've ever seen anybody, and it was from Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Paul, he's a physical specimen. I mean, I think people always around me would always say when they got in Paul's presence, like, wow, I had no idea he was, A, as tall as he was, but B, he's got shoulders that just go on forever. He's a big, strong kid. I mean, we saw him as a, quote, small forward. But, Paul is a man. There's no question about that.
All right,
I'm not gonna say he's all Australia, but he's a man.
Not like Tommy Wood. What did you make of Ray Allen, not only not showing up, but then putting out an Instagram post while the ceremony was going on of him on a golf course?
Yeah, Ray's made some misguided moves lately, which is too bad because I like Ray a lot. And I knew, first got to know Ray when he was a freshman at the University of Connecticut, so I've known him forever. I don't know what is at the heart of that. I think there's more to that than we know in terms of that feud that he would like to kiss and make up is nice to hear. It would be good to see all those guys together, given what the joy they were able to give all of us. It would be nice if we could see them together having a good time. But that's probably not going to happen from what I understand. And again, that was was a good thought, but to send it from the golf course while the ceremony was going on probably just pissed more people off than made them happy.
Yeah, and they made an Instagram yesterday that was really weird, where he
basically said that, hey, remember, I was part of that team, too.
Yeah, which is, and then he mentioned Scott Pollard, which made you think that he was really messed up.
But Dave Pruitt.
Pruitt, yes. Well,
Dave Pruitt is obscure enough that I'll let it go. Pollard is not.
Right.
So there was nothing you saw that made you think, wow, this guy is kind of a narcissistic prick? I'm being serious. Like, there was nothing.
Like, looking back, yeah.
Nothing that you saw.
No more than any of them.
Right. They're all kind of pricks.
Well, you got to really have a really good impression of yourself to think that you compete at that level. I mean, there are only 400, what is it, 30 teams in the league, 15 on the roster. What does that work out to? 450 jobs in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got to have a pretty good opinion of yourself to think that you deserve one of those.
Well, I think
I pay no attention to egos because egos are just way out of control. So. There's no sense in even worrying about them.
Do you think that if they would have made things right, like if there would have been, and if Ray would have shown up and made buddy-buddy, that I first of all, know the fans would completely welcome him with open arms, and bygones would be bygones. The Celtics fans are the most forgiving of any fans. But do you think that there would have been a chance that Ray Allen would have ever gotten his number retired here?
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Does KG get his number retired?
No. Yes.
He will.
Oh, of course he will. Does he deserve to get it retired?
Yes, no. He does.
What do you think, Gorman?
I probably would leave it at Paul.
Yes, thank you. They've gone crazy with this crap.
And why not? I mean, you know, people will argue he won a championship. He changed the entire culture of that team once he arrived.
He did all those things. It was is. Probably along with Larry Bird in the 30-odd years I've been doing this, is the best teammate I ever saw. You would want Kevin Garnett on your team without question. I see retired numbers more for guys who played their entire career in Boston.
Thank you.
But nowadays, isn't that almost impossible to happen?
But like, it's one thing if you're the Timberwolves. It's another thing if you're the Celtics.
But then what if you're a great? Like, what if you're like an all-time great who happened to play for several different teams? Are you never going to get your number retired?
Not in Boston. You shouldn't.
Well, I agree with Fred. Not in Boston. I know the way the game has evolved, people don't stay with the teams for their entire career. But that should be one of the rewards for staying with the team your entire career, is that you get your number retired. To play for three or four different teams, I don't see it.
I don't know. Maybe
there's nothing against Kevin. I mean, we don't. There's no championship. There's no Banner 17 without Kevin Garnett. There's no question about that. And there's no great run that group had for three or four years there. That's all true. I just don't want to retire his number.
I'm starting to come around to your style of thinking, and here's why, is that I almost think that if there is no debate whether a number should be retired, that's the only time it should be retired.
That's good.
And when you think of Paul Pierce, there's no debate.
No,
he gets his number retired.
Yes.
The other people, like, there's, well, maybe he doesn't deserve it. If there's a well maybe, then you don't retire.
I think it should be harder to get your number retired than it is to make the Hall of Fame. Not necessarily that you have to be a Hall of Famer to get your number retired, but you understand. Like,
I agree with that. I'm starting to come around.
The criteria should be harder.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're 100% right on that.
Yeah.
You can get into the Hall of Fame and not have your number retired.
Right. Or you can get your number retired and not be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, in a rare instance, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. The retired number means something to the community that you are in. It means something to Boston. It means something to the Celtic history. It's not a Hall of Fame as it covers the whole sport. I think the retirement of numbers should be personal.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, it makes total sense. I think that the team has gone crazy with the retired numbers. John can't say it because he's in the pocket of Cedric Maxwell. But
I think Max deserves to have his number retired.
He's literally Max, just saying that because he has to deal with him.
No, Max deserved to have his number retired.
Okay, give me
MVP of the finals.
Give me justification for that.
MVP of the finals.
Oh, yeah, but you just went in this whole spiel about it should be for someone who spends his whole career
they
here.
They can't say he shouldn't.
Yeah, that's a good point in the end there. I probably would leave the door open a little bit for Maxwell there, but you're right. He played for the Clippers and he played for Houston afterwards.
Yep.
No one's putting any pressure on you. You don't have to say how you feel. It's more than okay. All right. Mike Gorman, thank you.
Can we go back and talk about the cards?
Right. Thank you so much for your patience today. I'm sorry I went off on that tangent, but... it's weighing on me today. I don't know why I did that. But
good luck at the opening.
Right. Well, you know, then my son will get sick of it after 5 minutes, so it's going to be really rewarding. Right. Yeah. All right.
I have a vision of the whole family like sound asleep and just this lone light down in the basement.
You've just described my life.
I can totally see that.
You just described my life. Just sitting alone. Everyone's asleep. I'm the guy who has to put the dog in the crate. All right, Mike Gorman, it's a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, see you,
appreciate
man.
It. There you go. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to tomorrow's sold-out Pucks and Paddles event featuring your Boston Bruins. We'll be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Last night I had a bit to drink, and then very early in the evening, which is pretty pathetic, I bought over $600 in football cards.
Okay, so it was 12 boxes of 2017, 2018?
2018, it says.
Okay, 2018 football cards, 12 boxes. Yes. I want to see just how much, if I Google it, how much it would cost me, because you paid $600 for that, and
with shipping, it's $645.
That sounds like you got ripped off, my friend.
Well, that's what Mike says. Mike, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on? So, yeah, my son recently found my collection of baseball cards from like 88 to 92. So I go to the store down the street and buy new packs of cards. They're $5. There's like 8 cards in each pack. So I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I got to find them on the cheap. Baseball card shows, they still exist. It's like an indoor flea market. And you can buy brand new like packs of cards like you did from 88 to 92. They're like $5 a box.
Yeah, you know what? I bought the 1985, when I was a kid, I bought the 1985 Topps baseball set. Because you remember it had like McGuire. Who is the center fielder for the... Eric Davis. It had Eric Davis rookie.
Mm-hmm.
It had the McGuire Olympic card. I bought it for $90 back in like 88, and then by 92, it was worth like 5 cents.
Yeah, so I bought like 4 boxes for $20. My son and I just ripped through them. He has a better collection of cards from my era than I do.
Yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and part of the reason I did it is because I did the same thing as you, but I got them on Amazon like 1987. Like 85 and 87 are the nostalgic ones for me. And I bought the 87s, and they obviously, the guy had gone through them and then resealed the packs.
Oh, yeah.
So last night, I don't know. I thought I was doing something good, and it wasn't true.
Holy heart attack! That is the price of these. But like you, and there's actually more. There's ones that there are places that they're charging more than $600 for 12 bucks. That is insane.
Yeah.
There's
because what idiot? They have to outprice them because what idiot's going to go? I mean, you got to make your money off of every drunk fool that. That gets online.
What's the best? Is Panini the best? Are they known as like the Ritz Carlton of cards?
I have a Panini. How
it used to be Upper Deck. Back in the day, that was the best you could get was Upper Deck.
I used to get drunk and throw up on strip club floors. Now I'm drunk and I order cards online. But yes, a Panini. I have a Panini app on my phone that tracks the stickers the hockey stickers.
About this? A 24-pack box from last year football cards. Goes for $70 for 24 packs. Goes for $70 effing.
Right.
When the hell? When did this happen? When did baseball cards or football cards become so expensive?
I don't know, but it looks like I made a wise investment.
Maybe you did. Maybe you actually did, Fred.
Yeah.
Turn around and sell that thing. Put it on Etsy.
That's exactly what I want to spend my time selling these things. That's the maybe I can go to Modell's and just say, hey, cut me some slack.
Maybe you could sell them like Girl Scout cookies out in front of the shop.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's my new enterprise.
Right, and now there's someone on line two who's basically saying that no, confirming what I just found, that you did not get ripped off.
Dan, hello, sir.
Hey, guys. A big fan of your show. So, actually, can say with some degree of certainty Fred has potential that he might not have gotten ripped off. So, since the whole card industry has switched over from being like about printing cards, like you're talking about in the 80s and the 90s when they mass produced them, what they've done now is focused on memorabilia and autographs. So inside each one of these boxes should be an autograph, maybe a patch card of some sort, and then if you stripe on a player that's really hot, this is their rookie card, that is valuable. So you'll get inserts and things that are going to be unique and like small numbered, and that's where the value is, and that's why the cards have kind of started to come about again.
That your dog will chew up within the first 10 minutes of opening up the box.
We have gates everywhere. So I should open the packs?
Yes, 100%, because they're not going to be like sets. What they're going to be is they're going to be randomly like inserted cards, and in those cards are going to be like random serial numbered cards or patch cards or autographs, and that's where the value lies.
All right, cool. Well, then, you know what? When I'm never going to sell them. I mean, what am I going to do?
Well,
I can sit and say that I have money.
Wallach's sitting over there pretending like he doesn't have Beckett's book guide right there with all the values in it that he gets weekly at his house.
Not true.